It's 6 minutes after noon, and this is 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, the first day of February 2019. Ahead this afternoon, we get a preview of how Fayetteville will be observing Black History Month. Yesterday, on the eve of the month-long celebration, a press conference was held to outline events and information. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich was there. She'll give us details in about 12 minutes. And next hour, on Science Friday, when computers first debuted, artists saw their potential. But the techie-sounding practice of digital art has long roots in analog technology, like weaving. Plus, destination plants can convert the salty ocean into drinking water, but how much wastewater do they put out? Hear more this afternoon on Science Friday, beginning at 1, right after Ozarks at Large. And tonight at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, Austin Ashford presents Island Trap, a show that recently had a sold-out off-Broadway performance. It's an exploration of a young artist of color navigating contemporary American culture while trying to find his authentic voice. There is inspiration from Homer, hip-hop, and more. The performance begins at 7 in Crystal Bridges Great Hall. It's free. Registration is suggested, however. You can find out much more at crystalbridges.org. This is Ozarks at Large, and with me for the first day of February is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics from his office in Fort Smith. Happy Groundhog's Day Eve, Michael.
Is it Groundhog's Day already?
Well, it's Groundhog's Day Eve. Tomorrow will be Groundhog's Day.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about the future of the Marshalls Museum, perhaps more specifically this election that's coming up rather soon that would install a temporary sales tax that would help finish off fundraising. There are now some people speaking out against this tax.
It's a 1 cent, 9 month sales tax, raised anywhere from 15 to 17 million needed to complete the museum. They've raised about 35 million. The board and the Fort Smith Board of Directors in late December approved this March 12th election. Yeah, it's not a surprise that a group has come out opposed. It's Fort Smith Attorney Joey McCutcheon. Many may remember him. He was the one who unsuccessfully challenged the placement of the mascot at Southside High School. He wanted to keep it as the Rebel mascot. And then Robbie Wilson, local tax accountant, has joined him in this. And their principal mantra is that, you know, one, this was initially billed as a museum, as a facility that would not require taxpayer funding, that they wouldn't ask for public dollars, although history is pretty clear there was several requests for public dollars. Governor Beebe gave them $2 million. So there has been public money, but still their point is that the museum officials never asked for it. The second is that they say there's, you know, the Marshalls Museum can go ahead and just continue to raise money. There's no rush. There's no deadline to get the facility done. And so, you know, there's this consent decree that's raised water rates, and the sales tax for it, while it would be, if it's approved, while it would be on the books, would make Fort Smith one of the, if not the highest, sales tax rate cities in the state. So the museum's got all that going against it. The museum proponents have had a little bit of a head start, but we'll see how this goes. I can tell you that it's going to be an uphill battle just from my anecdotal, what I see anecdotally. It's going to be an uphill battle for the museum supporters. Kyle, I talk to people who are progressive, who supported taxes in the past, who are really on the fence on this. So, look, I was wrong. I was dead wrong on the school millage, Fort Smith school millage. I thought that was going to be a tight race or it might lose, and it won overwhelmingly. So what do I know? But anecdotally, I think this is going to be a tough battle for the museum folks.
What happens if, say, it doesn't pass? I mean, they're going to keep building the museum.
Right. They have the money. The point is they have the money to build a museum. It's building out the exhibits, the experiences, so to speak. It's finishing it out that they need the money for. So, you know, they can put it in the dry. They can get the building in the dry and finished out. It just wouldn't be, you know, and they've got this deadline they set upon themselves of the fall of of this year. We're in 2019, which is an anniversary date, 225 years with the U.S. Marshal Service. So that's kind of their, that's what's pushing the museum folks. But probably the museum folks wouldn't want me to say this, but you know, nobody loses their birthday, so to speak, if it doesn't get built right by then. It would be an unfortunate delay. And this is, you know, this was first announced in 2007.
Yeah, well, a lot's happened since then.
Right. So, and just, you know, a few months after it was announced, had the greatest, you know, recession since the Great Depression. So that's been a struggle to raise the money.
Well, ArcBest is not struggling to build wealth. They've done pretty well the last 5 years.
Yeah, they have. And let's keep in mind, you know, I've been covering ArcBest for a long time now, and just a few years, not that long ago, they were struggling just to keep ledger in the black, and well, they weren't really. Between 2008 and 2013, the company lost over $82 million. They're on a five-year string of losses. Now, of course, that was that recession period. In the previous 5 years, their net income has totaled more than $270 million. So it's an interesting story. And they've had two labor contracts signed with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters during that period. So it's been an interesting period for ArcBest. But for this recent year, their full-year net income was $103 million. That's well ahead of the almost $60 million last year. They beat all the consensus estimates. Now, when you take out some one-time charges, they still have some multi-employer pension, some legacy costs from companies that they have purchased. So they had a $28 million hit and then another $13 million hit. But their actual performance was $103 million. And they set a record. Their revenue was $3.093 billion. That's the first time they've been over the $3 billion mark. Anyone who is looking for a bright light for a company operating based in the Fort Smith economy or the Fort Smith metro, ArcBest is one of those.
Well, let's talk about a Fort Smith company that is expanding into Cleveland, Ohio. I've been to Temple Live to see Dwight Yoakam a year and a half ago or so, and the folks who brought Temple Live to downtown Fort Smith are working on a structure in Cleveland. Tell me about this.
Well, first of all, you pronounced it wrong. It's Dwight Yoakam. For some of us fans.
Gotcha.
Beatty Capital Group, Lance Beatty, several years ago, who we thought was crazy, bought that old Masonic temple in downtown Fort Smith. I remember walking through it with water dripping off the ceilings and thinking he had lost. Maybe he had fell down and hit his head on one of those stone blocks at the temple. But they've got the Temple Live going in downtown Fort Smith. And back in 2017, he purchased the 200,000 square foot. It's almost four times as large as the temple in Fort Smith, but he bought that temple in Cleveland, Ohio, which is in kind of a renovation district they have there called Midtown Cleveland, just a few blocks over from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too, by the way. But they are investing a little over $8 million in the first two phases of renovation for that temple. Just finished the first phase, and what I think is interesting is they will have, for the two temples, they'll have about 100 employees total. Of course, that depends on how many shows are coming and going. And they've already started booking again. The temple in Cleveland, they've already got 19 shows booked through May of this year. So it's interesting to see Lance and his company kind of bring this Temple Live concept to other areas. So he kind of, and I talked to him, and I didn't get to put this in the story, but you know, you get the sense they figured out how to make it work. You know, they worked all the bugs out of the system in Fort Smith, and now they're able to hopefully, or they hope, I'm sure, transplant that to other areas. And obviously Cleveland is a much larger market. And of course, I just hope they have much better success than the Browns.
Speaking of football, who you got, the Rams or the Patriots?
I have never, ever rooted so hard against a team in my life for the Super Bowl. I just hope the Rams embarrass the Patriots. I'm sure I've made a lot of fans with that. But
well, I'm pulling for the Saints, so.
Yeah.
Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can read about the stories we've talked about and much, much more at talkbusiness.net. Again, happy February, Michael. We'll talk to you next weekend.
All right. Thank you, sir.
On this week's On the Media, as the U.S. announces its support for regime change in Venezuela, we consider our long checkered history of meddling south of the border.
These coups, which we forget about very quickly, fester and burn in the hearts and souls and minds of people in Latin America.
Don't miss this week's On the Media from WNYC.
On the Media, Sunday morning at 11 on 91.3. Ozark Regional Transit and Razorback Transit are looking ahead to what the next 10 years will mean for public transportation in Northwest Arkansas. The Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission has hired Alliance Transportation Group to conduct a study and develop a plan for improvements to local routes over the next decade.
They will study where we're at right now. They will look at where both systems' routes are. They will look at the growth and development patterns in Northwest Arkansas. They will look at virtually everything all the way down to the riders themselves and the potential riders. And they will then start developing a plan.
That's Joel Gardner, Executive Director of Ozark Regional Transit.
We're really talking from the southern part of Fayetteville all the way to the northern part of Bentonville and Rogers, and as far east and west as the corridor can handle. I hope we consider things out in the Siloam Springs area and definitely consider things in Lowell.
The consultants will come back with a plan in about 13 to 15 months. And after that, Gardner says, the key to making any of their recommendations happen will be funding.
We could have all the greatest plans in the world, but if we cannot convince the community that it is a good plan and that it is a wise investment, then the plan will not work.
The plan will focus on regional goals, possible route designs, funding sources, performance measures, levels of service, and areas that should be serviced by transit. There will be strategic plans specifically for ORT and Razorback Transit, as well as recommendations for the four major cities. Gardner says they're looking for a plan that can be implemented in phases as the region grows.
Something that we can make happen in steps, whether they be small steps or large steps, but something that we can make happen and something that the communities can surround us with financially.
And that's not always easy. Last year, ORT came back with a study that looked at the feasibility of a bus rapid transit system along the 71B corridor. Gardner says it would work and could potentially serve multiple thousands of riders a day, but it would also cost $26 million to get a BRT system off the ground and funded for 2 years.
So it is a major investment, and it would have to be an investment that the whole of Northwest Arkansas would look at, because we can't have one community want to invest in it and another one right next to it not, because the cost remains the same, and now you still have service in an area where it isn't being paid for. And it's got to be a not only a financial investment, but it's got to be a real physical investment of their thought processes and their discussions and everything else. People have to truly want to go ahead and make this work for Northwest Arkansas.
Gardner says one of the biggest hurdles is the misconception that public transit only benefits the people who use it.
We are taking people to work, and if you're an employer, even though you may not be using transit, your employees may be using transit. Anytime we've got a vehicle out on the road and we've got 20 people on it, it affects you because we are taking people that would normally be driving off of the road.
Gardner says he'd like to see the results of the BRT study incorporated into the 10-year plan that will be developed by Alliance Transportation Group. He also encourages Northwest Arkansas to participate in surveys they'll be doing throughout the year, because public feedback will be crucial to informing the study and the plan that comes of it. Compassion Fayetteville's annual Black History Month is expanding its reach this year. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich attended yesterday's kickoff event, and she brings us details.
60 town leaders, residents, civil rights activists, and Fayetteville Public High School students turned out at the Alps School of Innovation in South Fayetteville to launch Compassion Fayetteville's fifth annual Black History Month. Fayetteville Mayor Lionel Jordan delivered the proclamation.
Whereas during Black History Month, we celebrate the many achievements and contributions made by African Americans to our economic, cultural, spiritual, and political development as a nation. And whereas African Americans have played a central role in our nation's history, however, much of what has been accomplished has remained unrecognized and uncelebrated. And whereas with the events of Black History Month, we seek to teach our children that America's story was written by many men and women of every race, and that story will continue to be told through the lives that they themselves will live.
This year's theme is Images of Black Excellence, Past, Present, and Future.
DeAndre Jones is chair of Compassion Fayetteville's Black History Month celebration.
Yes. We have a very diverse group, a very diverse team of individuals who have been working since September. And what's really interesting this year, we have individuals who are from various parts of Northwest Arkansas. In the past, we were committed to working in Fayetteville, but this year we decided to expand our outreach to Northwest Arkansas. That includes Rogers, Benville, and Springdale. And with that being said, we are creating programs and activities in each and every one of those communities.
A dozen events have been planned, starting February 1st at Crystal Bridges with an evening showing of Island Trap by Austin Ashford. Healing from the Hurt of Racism, an encounter group, takes place February 2nd and February 23rd from 9 a.m. to noon on North Elizabeth Avenue in Fayetteville, led by licensed counselor Dorothy Marcy and assisted by Jimmy Whitfield, Connie Crisp, and Patty Williams.
There are two sessions. One for whites, and I believe the second and the final one is for African Americans.
On February 2nd, everyone is invited to attend a decades party at 10 p.m. at Pinpoint on North Block Avenue in Fayetteville. February 11th, the NAACP is hosting a Founders Day celebration at Alps. There's also a racial equality training February 16th at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville called Facing Bias, Exposing Blind Spots, Engaging Action. At the press conference, Fayetteville's first African-American public school superintendent, Dr. John Colbert, roused the crowd with his personal story.
I, too, am America. I, too, have helped build this great country. I, too, am a doctor. I, too, am a lawyer. I bring you greetings. I'm Dr. Colbert. I want to say congratulations to Compassion Fayetteville Black History Committee for a job well done. And we appreciate all the work that you do to ensure that I, too, am America.
Washington County's first African-American quorum court judge, Joseph Woods, said that America remains a beacon for all cultures.
Because around the world, people still want to be in this country. No matter what we think about going on in this country, the world still believes there's hope. There's a pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness that can happen in this country.
A few other Black History Month events. The Northwest Arkansas Racial Justice Community Remembrance Project will be the subject of a February 23rd Crystal Bridges Gallery Talk at 1 p.m. Celebration Day and Style Show will be hosted by Dillard's at St. James Missionary Baptist Church, Sunday afternoon, February 24th, with Reverend Stephen Ivey officiating. Black clergy will be recognized. Admission to all Black History Month events is free. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Saturday, border security negotiations, lasting damage from the shutdown, and from Caracas, key voices in the struggle for power from Venezuela's military, police, and a young lawyer who's not optimistic.
There's a lot of people that suffer directly and indirectly. There's so many people dead, and I think there's people that won't get our forgiveness.
That and more of the latest news Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition Saturday, tomorrow morning from 7 to 9 on 91.3 KUAF. And ahead this Friday on our show, the band Me Like Bees. We'll go into the Furman Garner Performance Studio for music later on this Ozarks at Large.
91.3 is supported by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, presenting Men of Steel, Women of Wonder, a new exhibition featuring Superman and Wonder Woman as seen by the art world through more than 70 works by a wide range of artists. Opening on February 9th. More information at crystalbridges.org. Walton Arts Center's Broadway series presents Falsettos, Friday, February 8th and Saturday the 9th. This musical comedy includes noteworthy Broadway regulars while revolving around the life of a neurotic gay man, his wife, lover, about-to-be bar mitzvahed son, their psychiatrist, and the lesbians next door. WaltonArtsCenter.org or 443-5600 for tickets.
It is the first day of February, and with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Happy February.
Finally.
Yeah.
After January the 74th. So I'm going to go way out on a limb and talk about something I don't know anything about.
Okay.
Classical music.
Oh, well.
And I don't.
You know enough about it.
But there is this kind of bizarre and cool renaissance going on around a composer named Florence Price, mm-hmm. who died in 1953, but all of a sudden her music is being played everywhere. The Fort Smith Symphony just recorded two concertos, I think, on Naxos Records.
Here's
Kyle's holding up the album.
I got the record in my office.
And it got... It was in the New York Times on January the 11th and on All Things Considered on January the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And then Erchin Khan recorded some of her, not concertos, what's the word for it?
Yeah.
See, this is why. And that's been getting all sorts of traction. And that's what brought up this topic, because they're doing a concert for the Honors College next week.
Yes, in the Honors Lounge.
Yes.
And what's really cool is that is a very comfortable, cozy, intimate space. And
it's a house concert.
Yeah, to see Erchin do this there is pretty cool.
And the cool part is there's this homecoming to Fayetteville. Florence Price was not from Fayetteville.
No.
I don't think she ever lived in Fayetteville.
No.
She lived in Little Rock, and then she moved to Chicago, where she was admitted to a conservatory, one of the few conservatories that admitted African Americans, period. Or female composers, period. The reason it's a homecoming to Fayetteville is because her papers are in special collections at the University of Arkansas Libraries.
That's right.
Which is a whole other cool, like, this could be a TV show, Josh Gates kind of story, because somebody was tearing a house down in Chicago and found all of this stuff.
And some of these symphonies and portions of music that hadn't been seen in decades or maybe ever by anyone but her. Really a cool find.
I think some of the pieces had never been performed, according
right.
to... And so...
Well, in fact, the Fourth Symphony that's on the Fort Smith album... When they performed it last May, that was the first time people had heard it.
And then right after that, they recorded it,
right.
And now we have it. And like I said, it's getting national traction.
Yeah.
And they kind of did the same thing for William Grant Still,
mm-hmm.
how many years
mm-hmm.
ago?
Several.
Who was also an Arkansas-based African-American composer.
Right, not Arkansas-born, but moved here when he was young.
Right. So this whole thing is really cool. And the point of this is that you don't have to know anything about classical music to go and hear this Honors College concert
right.
and understand that it's amazing because she was African-American. It's amazing because she was female. It's amazing because the stuff was rescued in a very expedition unknown kind of way.
And it's incredibly approachable.
Right.
Don't let the tag of classical music intimidate you.
Well, there you will hear, as I understand it,
spiritual.
The spirituals
yeah.
in it. 6 o'clock on Tuesday. It's in Gerhardt Hall, room 130.
Yeah, it's not the biggest room in the world.
So here's the thing. You need to make reservations. If you understand how to do that, you can go to the Honors College. You'll see a place.
Just go to Honors College website. I think it's honorscollege.uark.edu and follow the tabs.
Right. And if that's something that you just don't know how to do, email Kendall Curley, because
right.
she will take care of you.
Yes, she will.
It's kcurlee at uark.edu. And she is the PR person for the Honors College, and she will fix you right up.
There you go.
Now, speaking of music, also approachable, the Arkansas Philharmonic is doing a Valentine's Day concert on the 9th. And they have a pianist coming in, Robert Henry, and they're doing a really interesting mix of what Stephen Bias considers very romantic music. The Cacciatorian Adagio from Spartacus, the ballet.
Mm.
Spartacus and his wife are captured, and they're sold into slavery, and they're separated, and he leads a rebellion and temporarily defeats the Romans and finds his wife, and the Adagio is the love theme of them getting back together. Then they're doing the suite from the ballet Firebird, that is Prince Ivan's hunting in the forest, and he encounters 13 beautiful princesses and falls in love with one of them, and he has to risk his life to free her, and he does, and everything has a happy ending, and so that one's really approachable, too.
So themes of emancipation in both of those.
Yeah, and then the last one is Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2, which we've all heard 75,000 times. So this is called Music from the Heart, and it happens at 7 o'clock on February 9th at the Arend Arts Center in Bentonville. Tickets for adults are $35. Here's the cool part. For $5, you can take your kid with you.
Oh, yeah.
And the kid can either go to the concert with you or go to part of the concert with you because they have a classical kids club meeting at the same time.
Right.
So for kids 4 to 12, if they run out of patience with Prince Ivan chasing the princess through the forest, they can go to the kids club for the rest of the concert for $5. This is a great date night. Other things going on. I'm not sure Macbeth is a great date night.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'll say yes.
Maybe.
I'll say yes.
University Theater is doing Macbeth in interesting kind of modern terms. I think I'd like to go see it. It's at 7:30 this weekend, today and tomorrow. 7:30 the 6th through the 9th, and then 2 o'clock this Sunday and next, the 3rd and the 10th. It's at the Black Box Theater on the Square, and tickets are $20 for adults. Tomorrow, all sorts of fun things for the kids. Super Saturday at the Fayetteville Public Library at 10:30 is African Folk Tales with Bright Star Children's Theater. That's free. Ram Saturday, which they do every week at the Fort Smith Regional Art Museum, is quilt art from noon to 4. So you go and make a piece of art. Aaron Rowe is doing a 2 o'clock presentation at the Fayetteville Public Library on an Ozark culinary history, her book of Ozark foods. And then there's a square dance social. I think this is rescheduled at Ozark Folkways in Winslow at 6:30 on Saturday night. It's a sit-down concert from the West Fork Gal String Band and then a square dance.
Fun.
And it's $10 suggested donation.
Fun.
I want to mention briefly, if we talked about last week about Valentine's and Killer Chili, the Ozark Smokehouse players.
Very few tickets left.
Very few tickets left. It's only the 8th and the 9th. It's a $20 donation. And if you really want to go, you need to look them up on Facebook, like now, as soon as we stop talking.
I had an email a couple of days ago, and I think the 8th was down to single-digit tickets.
So if you remember this show from 29 years ago, or if we've just tempted you by talking about it, go find them on Facebook now as soon as we hang up this phone.
Becca Martin Brown, features editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
For the Central Arkansas Library System, I'm Mark Crist with an Encyclopedia of Arkansas Minute. While many movies have been made in Arkansas, The White River Kid was not the most memorable. The film's lead is Arkansas's Wes Bentley, before his star turn in American Beauty, depicting a serial killer with a butterfly tattoo on his face. Despite a stellar cast featuring Antonio Banderas, Swoozie Kurtz, Bob Hoskins, Beau Bridges, Randy Travis, and Ellen Barkin, as well as presidential brother Roger Clinton, the movie is muddled by a series of disjointed subplots that detract from the kid's pursuit of a path to redemption by way of his fiancée's hillbilly relatives. The White River Kid was filmed in Hot Springs and other Arkansas locations in 1998 and relies heavily on negative stereotypes. While its producers called it a zany adventure with a plethora of oddball characters on the road in the Bible Belt, critics panned it as a messy comedy infested with bad gags. Never shown in theaters, it was released to video in Spain and Bulgaria in 1999. To learn more, visit encyclopediaofarkansas.net.
This is Ozarks at Large. Have you ever seen the movie The White River Kid?
I haven't.
Nor have I. And that description makes it sound like we don't need to.
Okay.
Okay. It is the first day of February.
Yes.
And we're going to pick a winner.
Yes.
To have a night out on us being KUAF.
This is correct.
I should also mention Lee Wood is the membership director at 91.3 KUAF, and she's with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. So every first of the month, we want to say thank you to a KUAF donor. As you know, Kyle, the largest portion of our operating budget comes from our listeners and local businesses. So we have to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And one way that we do is to draw someone out of the database the first of every month and then send them a thank you package. This month's winner is Melissa Anderson of Prairie Grove.
All right.
Yeah.
Prairie Grove.
So, Melissa, we'll send you a package in the mail. You'll get some movie passes, a gift certificate for Penguin Ed's Barbecue in Fayetteville. If you come over, you can eat some dinner or some lunch. And also, a special little token. We want to send you a KUAF Live 2018 CD.
These were all performances recorded in the Carver Center for Public Radio exclusively for KUAF by some great artists.
Yeah, national acts, regional and local. And it's a really special collection. You can't get it anywhere else. And I'm really happy to send it to you.
Only 100 were printed. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so
they're limited.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So on March 1st, spoiler alert, on March 1st, we'll be back here and we'll have another winner's package. And this is open to anyone who is an active member of KUAF.
That's correct. And what that really means is that that you've given a donation in the last 12 months. That will make you active in the database. And so we pull a random person the first of every month.
Yes.
This year is not a leap year.
No, it is not.
It's 2000.
2020 will be a leap year.
Oh, that's fun. So next year, I'm just excited about that because you can have, you could have 5 weekends. Didn't we figure this out in the leap year?
We had a conversation recently, not here, but at the station. Is there ever a chance you could have 5 Sundays in February, and it would have to be a leap year, and even then, it's not a guarantee.
I kind of want to look at the calendar, but I kind of want to be surprised.
Lee Wood is our membership director at KUAF 91.3. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, Kyle.
Passed by Fayetteville voters protecting LGBTQ residents from discrimination is being struck down by the Arkansas State Supreme Court. The court ruled yesterday unanimously that the ordinance violates a state law. The court's decision reverses a lower court ruling allowing the city to enforce the protections while the city challenged the state law that prohibits cities and counties from enacting protections not already afforded by state law. The court can be asked to rehear the case. Other cities in the state, including Eureka Springs, have passed similar ordinances. The Arkansas swimming and diving team will be on campus tomorrow morning, hosting Kansas for the final regular season match of the year. The meet is scheduled to begin at 10 at the Hyperion Auditorium. Arkansas 5-3 so far this season. The Razorback women's basketball team now 5-3 in SEC play after last night's loss to Georgia at Bud Walton Arena, 80-72. Arkansas back on the home floor Sunday afternoon, playing number 16 South Carolina, beginning at 4. Mount Sequoia is now serving food from a new executive chef. Justice Mole is taking over the culinary part of the nonprofit Education and Retreat Center after spending 7 years as executive chef at River Grill Steakhouse in Bentonville. Mole twice has been named Iron Chef Arkansas in 2015 and 2016. On February 23rd at 6:30, he'll partner with Fossil Cove Brewing of Fayetteville to offer a 5-beer, 4-course meal for a public event. He'll discuss how he used each beer in the cooking process at the event. And in April, a Taste the Mountain event is scheduled. You can learn more at mountsequoia.org. Oh, and earlier on the show, Becca Martin Brown mentioned Macbeth is being staged this weekend and next by the University of Arkansas Department of Theater. If you're planning on attending, just know, no late seating for this production, so plan on arriving about 10 minutes before the play starts.
Support for 91.3 comes from Arcom Plus, providing digital and offset printing, graphic design and promotional items, and a variety of business services for jobs of all sizes. Located just off College Avenue at 461 East Township in Fayetteville, Arcom has been locally owned and operated for over 30 years. Printing NWA.com or 444-7711 for more information. Thaden School is now accepting applications for grades 6 through 11 in the 2019-20 academic year. Located in downtown Bentonville, Thaden educates students from across Northwest Arkansas. thadenschool.org for more.
Monday on Ozarks, among the 30 recommendations issued by the Arkansas School Safety Commission, one is establishing clear means of communication to ward off danger.
It is see something, say something. And we have advertised that highly throughout all of our schools.
That's Monday on Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3. The Joplin-based band Me Like Bees is no stranger to Fayetteville. The band usually has a show somewhere in town once every 2 or 3 months. One of the members actually lived in Fayetteville for a few years. Saturday night, the band will perform at the Smoke and Barrel Tavern in Fayetteville. And a few weeks ago, band members Pete Burton, Jake Bennett, Luke Schaefer, and Lewis Brossman stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF to talk with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis about the upcoming show and to give us a preview of their music. To start the conversation, Timothy asked about how the band got its name.
We had a battle of the bands that we had to do.
10 years ago.
10 years ago, almost, yeah. In June, 10 years ago. But we had to think of a name, you know, and as you're thinking of a name, nothing ever sounds cool. Everything sounds lame. So we just started throwing out phrases and putting them together, and that was one that came up. We Googled it, and it turns out is actually from a Bible verse.
Huh.
It said it's from Psalm 118, and we thought that was kind of cool, and so we went with it.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
So y'all have been together for 10 years now.
Well, it's different member changes. Me and Luke, the lead singer, have are original members, so yeah, 10 years.
So how has the band changed over those 10 years?
For the better.
I also would agree.
No, you just go through member changes. You get new members, you know, people come along. We've gone through about 17 bass players, I think.
We finally just had to...
We're on our fifth drummer.
It's kind of a Spinal Tap situation.
Yeah. You know, I was about to say that.
Yeah.
So, y'all all live in the Joplin area? Play up there at mm-hmm. least most of the time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Considering how much you've played here in Fayetteville and how much you do play in Joplin, what would you say is different about the music scene up there than here?
Is there a music scene here? Because if there is, that's the difference.
Yeah. Joplin doesn't have one, really.
That's not true.
That's not true.
It is.
There's a band I just started listening to called Space Dingus, which I know is kind of a funny name, but we're no one to talk on that. And they just released a record. It's pretty good. It's really good.
They're there.
Yeah, a lot of places in Joplin that used to do live music don't really do live music now, so there's only a handful. I would say one thing that Fayetteville has is they've got more event spaces and more venues actually doing live music. There's, like I said, there's only about 2 or 3 that are actually actively doing it in Joplin, so that's one of the downsides to what's happened over the last few years, but I don't know if there's anything necessarily that correlates or is a reason as to why that is, but yeah.
There's a lot of talent up there for sure. Mm-hmm. You know,
for sure.
But not a lot of places to show it.
Mm-hmm. This song is called Feel the Heat.
Look at how she moves. Hey. Oh, how she moves at the beat of the drum. Oh, why you gotta. Make me wanna start a fire, make it go higher and higher, and bring this mother down, burn it to the ground. Then, oh, she took me by the hand. This is what she said: if you wanna make fire, we don't need gasoline. Just move a little closer, come up next to me. I got a fever. Running 103. Don't need a doctor, boy. Come and dance with me. Come on, feel the heat. 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 Oh, you're looking so fresh. Hey. You in that dress, don't think you'll keep up. Oh, my. Put me in the hospital. Been thinking of it all for way too long. Oh, my. warm up next to me. I got a fever inside, running 103. Don't need a doctor, boy, come and dance with me. Come on, feel the heat. Come on, feel the heat. Come on, feel the heat. Come on, feel it. Feel it. Feel it. And if you wanna make fire, we don't need gasoline. Just move a little closer, come up next to me. I got a fever inside, running 103. Don't need a doctor, boy, come and dance with me. Come on, feel the heat. 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 Come on, feel the heat.
So you guys have an indie rock sound, but I'm hearing other references in there, like that last single you played, it kind of reminds me of a country tune. What are your influences?
Not country.
I mean, that version.
More so.
A little
but
bit.
But even that sure, lead
yeah.
line.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm true. Talking about. That oh, riff yeah. there kind of reminds me of like a Glen Campbell riff.
Yeah, the ahead, thing about Pete. That is we had already written that song, recorded it, not before Glen Campbell's, of course, but it was shortly pointed out to us after the fact that it sounds eerily similar to a Glen Campbell song. But, I mean, I was aware of Glen Campbell, as most people are.
Now you're painfully aware of
right,
him.
Right, but now...
you accidentally stole from him.
Yeah, it's more...
of a borrow.
Borrowed. I mean, I wrote something... sans Glen Campbell,
yes,
and it just
did.
So happens to sound a lot like that. So.
I mean, there are only so many notes and
combination, and you know.
When I saw on your Facebook page earlier today that last year y'all had 1 million streams on Spotify.
Yeah,
we did.
We did.
How does that even happen?
Hard work.
yeah. I think just as the band changes and evolves, we're learning more so how to get our music out there in more effective ways. Mm-hmm. And so for me personally, just for me, that was cool to see, you know, because mm-hmm. for so long I was a fan before I was in the band, you know, so I listened to these guys probably for like 2 or 3 years, and then I traveled with them for 2 or 3 years, and now I've been in the band for 2 years, you know. So for me, that was cool to see the growth, and it's tangible, you know, because it's so hard as an artist to, well, is it getting out there? My friends like it, and mm-hmm. the people that come to our shows like it, but apart from that, is it getting out there? So, yeah, that was wild to see. That was cool.
The last year, you released a couple singles. What's on your horizon as a band moving into 2019?
I think the idea is to keep releasing singles and then ultimately either release another EP or full-length album, either later this year or earlier in 2020, just depends on how the single goes. You know, like I said, we have new members. We're still kind of figuring out what music everybody likes to make. And I think the easiest way to do that is just to kind of release songs as they come to us and see what people seem to gravitate to and mm-hmm. go from there.
Yeah. I'm trying to be the first band to release a record called Hindsight in 2020. So I'm saying January 1st, 12:01. I want it to come out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a personal goal of
that's
mine.
That's copyrighted now. That's on the record now. So
me like bees.
Copyright
Hindsight.
2019.
2020.
Hindsight 2020.
Hindsight 2019. Released on December 31st, 2019.
11:59.
I love it. Well, more short term, y'all have a show coming up here in Fayetteville soon.
Yes.
It's at our favorite rowdy bar, Smoke and Barrel. Is it February 2nd? Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's $5. And our buddy Cameron Johnson has been working his butt off to promote it, and you know, he's trying to step into the promoter game here in Fayetteville, and there's a lot of people putting on shows, but he's done a real good job of getting the word out and getting Lost Sean, a local band, on board. And so it's gonna be a lot of fun. Starts at 10, like it always does at Smoke and Barrel, and it's $5 at the door, and bring your dancing shoes.
Oh my gosh, I was gonna say bring your dancing shoes, and then I thought, that's stupid, don't say that.
So will this be the first time y'all played with Lost John?
I think so.
Yeah, I've played with them in other bands, but this group.
And the Twos?
Yeah, the Twos of... Mm.
Run is the name of this song. All right, ready to roll?
So where can people find your music at?
www.melikebees.com, facebook.com/melikebees, instagram.com/melikebees, twitter.com/melikebees, iTunes, Facebook, Spotify, Instagram.
Google Play. For all you 45-year-old moms.
Amazon Music.
So in other words, everywhere.
Yes, we are saturating the market. We are freaking everywhere.
Man.
Title is rap artists only, and we're on Tidal.
When Jack White's on Tidal.
Right, he raps now. So.
Yeah, yikes.
So, yeah, everywhere. All yep, right. Just Me Like Bees is, we think it's unique enough to where if you search for it, you can find it. So.
All right, I can dig it. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for spending
thank
time with
us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
That was Pete Burton, Jake Bennett, Luke Schaefer, and Louis Brossman performing as Me Like Bees inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. The band visited with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis a few weeks ago. You can find out more about the band at MeLikeBees.com. You can find their music on most streaming platforms. Tomorrow night, the band will perform at Smoke and Barrel Tavern in Fayetteville with local band Lost John, also on the bill. Music begins at 10 p.m. There will be a $5 cover at the door.
That's Alfredo Rodriguez in the background doing an Afro-Cuban version of the theme from Super Mario 3. And I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz. An in-depth interview this week with Alfredo Rodriguez. He'll be performing at the Walton Arts Center. We'll have a healthy dose of his music, along with his duo partner, Pedrito Martinez. Shades of Jazz, every Friday and Saturday, right here on KUAF.
And just a bit more music, actually discussion of music before we leave you. This week we talked with John Jetter, music director and conductor of the Fort Smith Symphony, about the symphony's new CD featuring a pair of Florence Price works. By the way, that CD has been selected by NPR as one of the 10 best CDs any genre of the month of January. You can learn more at npr.org. What we didn't have a chance to bring you earlier this week was information about the next couple of performances for the Fort Smith Symphony. So, from earlier this week, here is John Jetter with a quick reminder of the rest of the Fort Smith Symphony season.
Our next concert is April 13th. That's featuring Tony DeSerre, who's a wonderful pianist, vocalist, and he brings a group of musicians. It's a very high-energy concert. He's on the second half. We do classics on the first half. And then on May 11th, is our season closer with our Big Pictures in an Exhibition project with a newly created art in conjunction with The Unexpected and artists at UA Fort Smith. That includes a world premiere dubstep piece. On that program, Michael McHale is the pianist playing Prokofiev's third piano concerto. We do that on Saturday. On Monday are our Earquake performances for 4,000 sixth graders. And as we speak right now, our Symphony String Quartet is doing its second week of Symphony in the Schools for schools outside of Fort Smith. And this is where they go into all the fifth grade classes and perform.
John Jetter, musical director and conductor of the Fort Smith Symphony. That was John speaking in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio earlier this week. You can find out more about the symphony and all they do at their website, fortsmithsymphony.org. Speaking of websites, we have one. You can find past editions of our program, plus individual interviews and stories at ozarksatlarge.com. And also there you can find links that will help you share those individual stories and interviews with friends and family through email and social media. OzarksAtLarge.com. Contributors to this Friday edition of Ozarks at Large included Zuzanna Sitek, Jacqueline Froelich, Timothy Dennis, and Antoinette Grajeda. Timothy Dennis mastered our show. Michael Tilley joins us most Fridays through our partnership with Talk Business and Politics. You can find out more at talkbusiness.net. Becca Martin Brown through our relationship with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can always go to arkansasonline.com. Also, thanks to Lee Wood, membership director at KUAF 91.3, for coming to our studios today and announcing this month's A Night on Us winner. You can learn more about becoming a member of KUAF at supportkuaf.com. We will be back Sunday morning at 9 on 91.3 with the next edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large. And yes, we're planning another full week of brand new daily shows on Monday through Friday for you. That will begin Monday at noon and 7 p.m. A listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Boonville. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for spending time with us.